Amen. Father, we just commit your word to us this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you speak to each of us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that your word will come alive today in each of our hearts, Lord, that you'll speak to us. And Father, we'll be changed and we'll grow as, Lord, your word is applied and dealt with deep into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we know our theme is unashamed, and I'm unashamed to tell you that. We all know that very well. We've been talking in recent times, we've talked about the sense of shame that we can carry in our life in terms of our relationship before God and even with other people. I want to talk about a different aspect today. Sometimes we can feel ashamed because maybe something that's happened to us. Sometimes we might feel that we're a bit of a victim or something that's happened to us, and that can cause a sense of shame. Most of the time when there's shame in our lives is really because of things that we have done. We've done something stupid, we did something dumb, we feel silly about it, we feel a sense of shame, and that's really the crux of it. But there are also times where we feel ashamed because there's things that we're supposed to have done that we didn't do. And I want to talk about that whole aspect of following through today, when things that we know we should have done, but we didn't actually do it. And we maybe had every good intention, and we said all the right things, and yeah, we were going to do it, but when the rubber hit the road, we didn't actually follow through on that. And I'm sure every one of us has been there at some time and has done that, where there's things that we meant to do, we had every intention to do it, but then we didn't do it. And then afterwards, we feel that sense of guilt and shame that, oh, you know, I was supposed to, I didn't do that. And I'm sure every one of us can relate to that to one degree or another. And none of us are perfect in that. I'm certainly not perfect in that, still growing in that. But I believe there's some things that God has shown me and that we can see in the Word that can help us to be ones that just are not ones that have good intentions, which then fall to the wayside and leave us feeling guilty or ashamed, and how to avoid that in our lives. Well, Samuel Johnson, he said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And he was building on the St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who said, hell is full of good intentions or desires. And so we want to be people that don't just have good intentions, yep, but when it comes to the rubber hits the road, we don't follow through on it, and we're left feeling a sense of being ashamed because we said all the right things, but we never did it. We had every intention to do it, but we never really got around to it. And that can cause that sense of shame in our life. So we want to be free from that. We want to be free of all sense of shame, and that's what this year is about being unashamed. I want to have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Now, that's two chapters, 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, and we're not going to read those two chapters. If I had time, I'd love to read you those two whole chapters, but can I encourage you to take them home and to read through those two chapters? I'll give you some homework. Read for that and follow it through. Some of you go, yep, I'm going to read those two chapters. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. How many of you are going to do that? How many of you are going to actually follow that through? Well, we'll see. Keep on listening. All right, because you might have all have a great intention. Yeah, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read those chapters, or across this week, I'm going to read chapter 8 and chapter 9. Every intention to do it, but when it actually comes to it, that you don't actually do it. So let's talk about following through. I just want to give the background of these couple of chapters, and really a key verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. Let's just read that verse and we'll talk a little bit about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. It says, last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. So that your willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. And that's sometimes where we fall down, isn't it? We're eager, willingness. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're all excited. We're going to do it. Yep, no worries. I'm going to read those two chapters. Yep, I'm going to do it. And then things happen and then we get busy. And then Sunday morning comes and I say, how are the two chapters? And then you feel ashamed. But it happens, doesn't it? There's the willingness to do things. The eagerness to do things, but it's to follow it through. So the eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. And it's that gap that I want to talk about. The eager willingness, but actually following it through to completion. And that gap causes shame. It's a shame gap that we have when we had every intention and we just didn't do it. We feel that sense. What the background of this is a particular offering that was to be given. churches in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was going under particular hardship at that time. There had been a series of wars and revolts and things. There had been famines and a lot of difficulty in the church there in Jerusalem. And so 12 months earlier, and you can read that in the previous letter in 1 Corinthians, you'll find towards the end there, it refers to a collection that's to be made for the saints in Jerusalem. And that's what this is all about. It's about an offering that was to be given. They said that we want to bless the church there. They're going through such difficulty, and we want to be able to bless them. And so Paul is now really challenging them, saying, okay, guys, you said you were going to do that. You had every intention to give and to bless and to be that witness in that way. Well, let's not just have that desire. Let's follow that through on your heart, on your desire to actually give. And then another part, another key verses in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4, and it says this. It says, "For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." And so he's putting a challenge to them because he's saying, look, guys, you were so excited about it. You had every intention. Yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And such was the inspiration that you created, that when we spoke to the churches of Macedonia, to the church of Thessalonians, when we spoke to them, when we spoke to the Philippians, when we spoke to the Berean churches, we said, you should have seen the response of these Corinthians. They just were so excited. They so much wanted to be a blessing and use them as a role model, as an example. And even when they went and spoke at these other places or addressed them, wrote them letters, communicated with them, sent message to them, however they did those things, they used this particular church as an example. And those other churches said, wow, gee whiz, look at those Corinthians. They're so excited. They're really going to get into this. They really have a heart to bless and to give, and they're going to give sacrificially, and they want to bless Jerusalem because they're in such a hard and difficult time. And so they would become like the role model. And then Paul is saying to them, but this is going to be a little bit embarrassing, isn't it, guys? Because you're the ones who've been the great example, and I don't want to come here and I'm going to bring some people from Macedonia, and we come and we find that everything that you said was just, at the end of the day, a lot of hot air. Great intention, sincerity of intention, desire, but it didn't really happen. And he said, look, we're going to be really embarrassed. We're going to be quite ashamed if we had them with us. And there's this great big offering that you promised, or great generosity that you said, and we get there and it's not there. And so he's warning them, and he says, we're going to feel that way, but he says, well, how are you going to feel? And we all know how we feel. You know how you feel when you said you're going to do something, you have every intention of following it through, and at the end of the day, though, you don't actually do it, and you feel pretty miserable. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? When you said you're going to do something, when you don't do it, and you don't follow it through. And we all know what that feels with. And so that's really what Paul is warning them about in these couple of chapters in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapter 9, saying, you said you're going to do something to such an extent that it became a role model to all of these other churches. So it's really important that you follow through on the things that you said. Otherwise, we're going to be pretty ashamed and embarrassed, but how are you going to feel? And that's what he's really saying there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 4. And so that's certainly the place that we don't want to. And so Paul actually then looks at this whole area of preparing these Corinthians, talking to them so they don't end up in that situation where they've had a great intention, but then they didn't do it, and then they feel really bad about it. And that's something that we want to look at so that we can avoid it. I want to go through a number of principles. You've got your bookmark. You can follow that along. They'll come up here on the screen as well. But one of the very first things is that really impressed Paul. If you have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, and here he's talking about the Macedonian churches. He says of them a little bit earlier, he says, we were just blown away by these Macedonians. They were so inspired by you and by your intentions, so inspired by you, that they were going through really difficult. A lot of persecution was happening at those churches at the time, a lot of persecution, having a lot of trouble in many different ways. And they said, but we were blown away by, because of your example to the Macedonians, even with incredible hardship, extreme poverty, it says, extreme poverty, even them under those circumstances, it welled up into this rich generosity. I was blown away by that. Couldn't believe it. Amazing. Said, and one of the things about actually doing that, one of the keys to following things through, it says there in 2 Corinthians 5, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So one of the keys of actually being able to follow things through is to really have God first in your life. Always put God first in your life with everything. So important that we do that. That's one of the guiding principles. If you want to be someone that actually follows through and not just full of rah, 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 but when it happens, it doesn't happen. And you feel bad about that and guilty about it. But I really meant it. But good meaning must always translate into good action. It's got to be real. And that we need to have it. One of the keys is putting God first. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And if you sold out, first of all, for God in your life, He's number one in your life. That's the most important thing that any of us can do. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then it's the very first thing you need to do is to put God first in your life. But for all of us, if we really want to be people that follow things through, God has to be first in our life. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. And so if God is in the right perspective, the right balance in our lives, you'll find that you're able to attract things through. Because God is a wonderful God. When you just, I just don't know how I'm going to do this, well, God will actually kick in and He'll help us. Give yourself first to the Lord. One of the keys, if you really want to be someone that follows things through. But if God is, if you're wishy-washy in your relationship with God, you're going to be wishy-washy with everything else. If it's hit or miss with God, it'll be hit or miss with everything that you do. Some things you will follow through, some things that you will do, but other things you don't. How many of you started projects? Some of you guys, some of us guys. How many times have you started a project around the house? You're going to fix this, you're going to do this. And your wife doesn't even have to say anything. Just smile. I didn't do it. I should have done it. I should have followed it through. But if we can actually have everything God first in our lives, if we're 100% with God, putting Him first in all things. And you find that you're going to be able to learn to prioritize things. But if God is not priority, you haven't learned that priority, then every other priority isn't going to work. So we've got to learn to put God first. Second key that he says is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. It talks about walking in obedience. And here he is basically at the end of it, is saying, look, if you're going to go through, and it's great that you've said you're going to do this, fantastic that you've been an example to all these other churches that have been watching you, but the outcome of all of that is going to be something very precious. It talks about walking in obedience, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God. We want to see people praising God. When you're a person who follows things through, people go, well done, because not a lot of people will do that in this world. We're always following things through. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. But men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of Christ. Because if we actually say that we're Christians, we say that we're believers, that we're going to honor God with our lives, well, then we need to do that. We need to do that. Our word is so important that we follow through on those things. As I said, none of us are perfect on it, but we've got to grow, and we've got to grow in this area about walking in obedience in this way. Giving is something, and this is the context of giving. And he's saying, well, guys, this is actually very important, because you're saying, you've said some things you're going to do, well, it's important that you're going to do it, and you said you're going to give, then it's important that you actually do that. He encourages, he talks about an obedience. And one thing to have God first in our lives, and we've got to put God first, but to put God first in our life is really to walk according to His ways and to walk in His way. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. We walk in obedience with the Lord. It's interesting, in chapter 8, verse 24, it won't come on the screen, but in verse 24 of chapter 8, it talks about the proof of your love. Want some proof? Proof of your love, he refers to that. The proof of your love. You actually following through this is proof of your love. One thing to say it, but another thing to do it. He talks about the proof of his love. In 8 verse 8, he says he wanted to test the sincerity of their love. Because they said all this stuff, but were they actually going to, follow it through? So it's important that we walk in obedience to what God says and to His will. Follow things through. Put God first. You get Him number one priority. Other priorities will fall into place. And to walk in obedience. Don't play games with God. Follow things through in God. Follow His principles through. Apply them to your life. And then people will praise God because of that. People will come into the kingdom because of that. Because they see that you're a different person. So important that we walk in obedience. And another guiding principle is to live with integrity. That is really important. Because when we always don't follow things through, we actually violate our own integrity. To such an extent that we become very discouraged. You don't try anything. You know, you can never finish everything, anything. We can start so many things. Some people have a personality. They're real plotters. They'll take one step after another. I've done this thing. I'll take the next thing, and I'll next thing. And someone who's got that more of a plotting personality, following through things through, comes a little bit more naturally, not easily, but a little bit more naturally, because that's by nature. But some people aren't that linear in their thinking or their processes or the way that they work. Some people are all over the place. They'll do this thing here, and they've got this one there, and they've got that one there, and they're going all over the place, you know, like that, what's that twister thing or whatever it is, they're all over the place. And if you're creative and you've got the innovative sort of thing to you, you can have 10,000 things going, but you've got to keep going through. You've got to follow things through, because it's no good starting 10,000 things and finishing nothing. Far better the one who started one thing and finished it. But we've got to follow things through to live in integrity. And to do that, there's an integrity in following things through. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 says about, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." So that's really important, that whenever we say something, we do something, remember that there's two lots of people that are watching. Number one, the most important one is God. He's watching us. You're making your commitment with your mouth. Well, God is a witness to what you've said. And so it's important that we follow things through. But there's also people as well. We make commitments to them. I know what it's like to let people down. I feel really terrible, actually, when I let people down. I don't treat myself very well when I do that, because I just, you know, it's violating my own integrity sense of that when we don't follow things through. And I know we probably all feel like that. You feel bad. You do feel that ashamed when you said you're going to do something and you didn't follow it through. But we don't want to walk in that. We want to be people of integrity and knowing that God is watching us all of the time, and to do what we do in the right way. Some people say, "Oh, well, God knows it's okay." Well, that's not enough. God knowing it's okay is not enough. It's in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men, the scripture says. And it's not enough to say, to put on a show and make it look like it's good. Put on a little mask or a little act and, oh, they think everything's fine, because you've got God. He knows the truth. He knows that it's not fine. He knows that it's all whatever it is. And so it's in the eyes of God and the eyes of men. And that's what integrity is, to follow things through, but to live our lives in the eyes of men and the eyes of God. And so people will praise God because of us when we're living in integrity in that way. But another thing that we do when we get in trouble, not following things through, is sometimes people will say yes to everything. Will you do this? Yes. Will you do that? Yes. Will you do this? Yes. 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 But there's only one of you. You only got so many pairs of hands, hopefully only one, unless you're a very interesting person. We can only do so many things at once. It says here in Matthew 5:37, it says, "Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. And anything beyond this comes from the evil one." See, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble with following things through is because we commit ourselves to things we should never have committed ourselves to in the first place. We just thought, yeah, that's a good idea, I'll do it. We never thought about it, never prayed about it, never considered the consequences of that action, of that decision. And we commit ourselves, we say yes to all this stuff, and then later when we don't do it because we just couldn't do it, we just didn't have the time, we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the opportunity, whatever it was, but we committed ourselves, but we've lacked integrity because we said yes. And as people of integrity, we've got to say yes. When God says say yes and you'll put God first, God will say yes. And quite often he will say, yes, help this one, do this thing, give that, serve that, whatever it is that God wants you to do. But sometimes we need wisdom, and sometimes it's a no. And when we get in trouble is when we really should have said no, but we said yes. And we make this incredible commitment, but the reality is we just cannot fulfill it. And when we don't feel it, how do we feel? We feel ashamed. And so there's that sense of wisdom that needs to come in there, that, yep, God's first, we're walking in obedience, we're in integrity, everything we do is in the eyes of God, but also has to be right in the eyes of men also. But also to know when to say yes and when to say no. Sometimes you need to say no, and there's no harm in saying no, even if it's a good thing. Will you help with this? Well, the reality is you can't, you just say no. No condemnation, no shame in that. Better to say no and then later say, well, yeah, look, I've rethought it. I've been able to change some things. I'm going to shop on a different day, or, yeah, I can visit that person then, or I can do this thing, or I can give that. We're going to put off this so we can give to this. We can bless that or do whatever it is. That's fine. But don't commit yourself to what you cannot do. because that's when we get into problems, that your yes be yes and a no be no. That's really important. That's a part of integrity. So there's some of the guiding principles that will help us follow things through. God first, walking in obedience and living with integrity. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And that's so important. Everything, we're doing it unto the Lord. You'll know the things God is number one in your life is your work for God. Is your serving for God? Or is it to help out other people? Well, that's great. Helping out other people is really important. Serving is really important. But ultimately, everything has to be to God. Well, what are some of the practical things that we can help us in following things through? Because there's nothing worse that when we feel bad because we had every intention, but we never actually did it, and that sense of shame. One of the things, a practical thing that Paul does, is to tell them to make necessary preparations. That first of all, if you're going to do something, make sure that you're in a position to do it. Make sure that you can follow it through. And this is what he's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. He says, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and to finish the arrangements of the generous gift you had promised. Then it'll be ready as a generous gift, not one as grudgingly given. And so there are some preparations that need to be made. And sometimes if we're going to do something, you can't just do it ad hoc. You need to plan it. You need to sit down and work out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I said I was going to do that. Well, then what time is it going to take? How much time do I have? Do I have time to fulfill this? Okay, well, then do I have to reorganize things a little bit? He gave explicit instructions. Paul gave explicit instructions. He said to them, look, on the first day of each week, just set aside a money in accordance to your income. You can't give what you don't have in accordance with your income, and make preparations so that when this big offering was going to be taken, that all madly scrambling, excuse me, it's already all there, all ready to go. And so making preparations, we need to be people that prepare. If you want to follow things through, careful what you say yes and no to. If you say yes, plan it out. How am I going to do this? What time? What adjustments do I need to make to my lifestyle? Because sometimes there are adjustments to be made. You can't do certain things unless you change something. And you need wisdom in what to change and then how to change it. And so Paul was encouraging them, saying, guys, we're just coming right now in advance to make sure that everything is in order. Preparation is so very important. Luke 14, Jesus says this in Luke 14, verses 28 to 29. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. Pretty embarrassing. Feel pretty ashamed, wouldn't it? They've got this wonderful big foundation to build this fantastic building. We're going to do this. And at the end of the day, I don't have the money to do it. And he said, Jesus says to them, people are going to ridicule him. They're going to feel pretty embarrassed, pretty ashamed by that whole process. And so sit down and work it out. It's important when you commit yourself to something. Well, what can I do? What can I give? If it's money, how can I give that? How do I systematically do that? What is the process to do that? Is it time? How do I order my life so that I have time to do that? I want to help this people. I want to help this person. I want to serve this. I want to do that. I want to reach out to these people. Well, how am I going to do that? Because it's great to say that. It's great that you've got a whole list of people that you've got down in that book of life prayer. But what are you doing about it? Or is that just a good intention? Oh, I'm praying for them, praise God. But you need to more than pray. You need to invite them. You need to reach out to them. Bring them along. Bring them to the ladies' conference that we had. Whatever it is, we need to follow it through. We've got to follow it through and always consider the cost of things. What's it going to cost in time and effort and to follow it through? You need to make preparations. You need some planning in those things. Another principle is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. And again, here's Paul talking to us and he says, for if the willingness is there, because it's not for willingness that most of us lack. Yeah, it's sincere, yeah. But it's just translating the eagerness to the completion. He says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have. So at the end of the day, you cannot do what you cannot do. You cannot give what you cannot give. You can only do what you can. And if you've operated in integrity, God is first in your life. You're living in obedience. Yeah, I'm being true to my word and I'm doing things in the right way, but I'm also doing the right things by saying yes or no. And I'm considering carefully my time. Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? What do I do? And I'm looking at all of those things. And at the end of the day, you can only do what you can do. You might want to do 10,000 things, but you don't have time to do 10,000 things. So you may say, well, God, I know you want me to do one thing. What is that one thing? And I'm going to order my life so I do that thing very well. And it might be you may have a little bit more time so you can do some other things. You may have resources. You may say, yeah, I want to give at this level. The basic level, of course, is the tithe, 10%. Some of you may say, no, I want to be generous. I want to work out how I can do that. Well, then do that. But everything has to be done according to what you can do. It's according to what you do. You do the best you can. That's the bottom line. That's what God requires of us in following things through. Always do the best you can. Be careful what you commit yourself to. But once you have committed to it and you've done it in the right way, then you've got to give it the very best you have. Do the very best you can. And God doesn't demand anything more than that, than that's our very best. He doesn't expect you to do what you cannot do. He doesn't expect of us. He gives us an ability we'll talk about in just a moment, but you can only do what you can do. Every one of us is 24 hours in a day. And we've got to be wise how we allocate those 24 hours, because it's first to God. That's the number one. But there's still only 24 hours. You can't suddenly make 25 or 26. Some of you are maniacs and you try to do that, but it doesn't work. There's still 24 hours. But we can use them very effectively if we are wise, and we can make a big impact in the kingdom of God if we are wise in how we use our time and how we use our finances and whatever else in our lives. But do the very best you can. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. So it's without any shame, according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have. You can't do what you can't do. And so we've just got to be wise about those things. Finally, is that we need to depend on God's grace. Because sometimes, yeah, if it's something that we really believe that God has called us to do, because God is first, we're walking in obedience, we've got integrity, walking in those areas of our lives, and we're careful to what we say yes or no, and we're planning things out how we're doing that. We're doing the very best we can, but sometimes something will come out of left field, something will come out somewhere, and we're doing the very best we can, but we just didn't think this was going to happen. We didn't expect this eventuality. We didn't think that that was going to happen, because we thought it was all planned out and we thought it was all, and because we had a sincere intention and a willingness and a desire, but something happened to us which we didn't expect to happen. There was a consequence that we didn't foresee, and so we can get caught into something sometimes. But the wonderful thing is the promise of the grace of God. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I'll read it again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound for every good work. What amazing promise that is. So sometimes you got it all right, all together, but something happens, or you just, even your own strength may begin to fail, the desire, but there's a grace of God that is available to each and every one of us in all things, in all times. Not just sometimes, but in all things, at all times. We've got it all flowing down this process that I'm talking about, that God will actually give you the capacity. Sometimes you are just exhausted. Hands up if you've ever been exhausted. Some of you are too tired to put your hands up. Okay, we've all been exhausted. You just had enough. Look, sorry guys, I'm spent. But there's something and a desire and something that you knew God wanted you to finish to take you through. Well, that's when we tap into the grace of God. And the grace of God will carry us through. Because we're not doing something we shouldn't be doing, and we're not being irresponsible, and we're not being naive and not lacking wisdom, but we've just done the best we can. But we just run out of puff. We just can't get there. Then that grace of God will kick us in, and it carries us and it sustains us. And the scripture says, so that in all things, in all times, having all that you need. What a wonderful promise that is. In all things. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Not stingy with his grace. He'll give you the capacity far beyond your own natural capacity. Because you've got God first and you're walking in obedience and in integrity. You're planning things. You've been making the right decisions. Hearing from God what he wants you to do. You've done all the preparations. You've done the very best you could. You've done the best you can, well, then the grace of God will kick in to us and it helps us follow things through. And I just believe God wants to encourage us on that. Don't be people who end up feeling ashamed, because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I should have. I was meant to. And not because someone told me, because God told me, God's will told me, His word told me, I've got to do it. I've got to share the love of God. I've got to minister His love and grace to people. Yeah, I've got to give. I've got to serve. And we feel, because there's a gap between the eager willingness and then the outworking of it. Let's not be people that feel that sense of shame, not because of what we did, but because of what we didn't do. So important that we put God first in our lives, follow these things through, walk in obedience, have that integrity, make the preparations, do the best we can, but then learn to rely on the grace of God. It's so important so that we won't be people who feel that sense of shame, because God has called us to succeed in life, that we would, it says, abound in grace in every good work. What a wonderful promise that is. And the final thing I want to say just as we close this morning is to remind us that God is the God who follows things through. And God has touched every person that is here, whether you know Him intimately, whether if you haven't given your life to Him, I pray that this day that you will do that. You'll come into that intimate relationship with your Father in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. But God is a God who doesn't give up on us. He hasn't started with you and, man, this person, I can't continue with them. They start something and then boom. Praise God, He's not like that. He proved that with Israel. He wasn't like that. Despite all of their, yep, God, boom, yep, God, boom, yep, God, boom. The cycle of, yeah, boom, boom, all the time. And God was still very gracious to them. His grace abounded to them. But there's a promise, and it's to us, and it's from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this, that He began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to stop. And even if you have not followed things through, well, Jesus hasn't given up on you. And He's going to keep working on your life. He's going to keep pouring His Spirit upon you. He's going to keep loving you and encouraging you, wanting to see you grow to be everything that He's called you to be. He won't give up on you. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this morning. And I pray that God will stir something in your heart. And not just that determination, but He's going to give you the capacity to actually finish things, to be faithful in things, to be faithful in your service, faithful in your giving, faithful in your sharing, faithful in all of those things in life, in your relationships, every area of our lives, and to follow it through and to know God's blessing. So, Father, even as we come before You now, Father, we just thank You so much, Lord, for the promise, Lord, that You're going to carry it through with us. Lord, that even when we muck up, Lord, even when we don't follow through, Lord, even when we maybe feel ashamed, Lord, because we didn't do what we thought we wanted to do or we're going to do or what we said we're going to do, Lord, we thank You that You don't give up on us. We thank You, Lord, that You're faithful with us, even when we're not faithful in those things, Lord, that You're faithful towards us. And, Lord, that Your promise, You just carry it on in us, the work that You've begun in us, that will continue until the very day that Jesus Christ comes back. So, Lord, we just thank You for that promise. But, Father, I just pray, Lord, for anyone that here, Lord, is struggling, Father. Maybe they need some wisdom, Lord, that because, Lord, they've said yes some things maybe when they shouldn't have said yes, or maybe they didn't even think about it, or maybe there's some things they should have said yes to, they said no to, Father. Maybe there's those, Lord, that have struggled in areas of following through on the commitments of, yes, Lord, I'll be faithful with my tithes and offerings, but just really struggle with that, Father. People have a desire to outreach to their friends and to see their friends in the kingdom, but, Father, when the rubber hits the road, Lord, they just don't seem to have time, Lord, or just don't have the confidence. Father, I pray, Lord, for Your grace just to kick in, Lord. Let us do the very best that we can. Father, let us be known of ones, Lord, who are wise in what we do, but, Lord, give it the very best that we can. Lord, we want to do the very best. And, Father, I pray for all those that are here, Lord, that have done their very best, done everything as far as they can tell, Lord, right to the best of their ability. And Father, then they just hit a wall and just, I just can't go anymore. I can't do anymore. I've expended everything. Father, I pray that this day, that Your grace that abounds, Lord, will abound to each one. Lord, they will know the touch of Your grace, Lord, that will pick them up, Lord, lift them up and propel them forward even this day, Lord, into Your purpose, Lord, into the plan, into the destiny, Lord, that You've designed for them, Father. I pray, Lord, help us to be people, Lord, and not just say it, Lord, but we live it, Lord, and we do it, Father. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, stir that in every heart this day. Father, we want to follow it through, that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified and that people may praise God because of the obedience in our lives that accompanies the confession of the gospel. So, Father, we just thank You now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.